We come with the weight of life held quietly in the secret spaces of our heart. The ballast of our spirits so easily shifts and knocks us off center. Into this place, we walk, hoping to find a voice, a song, a moment of sacred silence that will bring us back to balance, that will anchor us again in beauty, trust, and connection. We gather this morning in gratitude for the many ways in which we help each other return home. Each night, for the past week and a half or so, I wake up in anxiety, heart beating a little harder than normal, as if just awakened from a nightmare. I pull the bed covers closer, trying unsuccessfully to reclaim sleep. I realize all too soon that I'm fully awake, and whatever hour it is, 4 or 5, I'm up for the day. And I've thought that it's because my brain was on overload, clicking on at the first opportunity, pulling me rapidly into the waking world. But that's not what's waking me up. Every night, my own truth, my own awareness of the intensity of this moment in time, it begins to awaken inside me a little bit further, nudging me in a direction that I don't really want to go. So I get up and I distract. And yes, I do good things. I meditate and I walk and I do all those things that soothe rattled nerves. But still there's this ache inside me. And it's a place of grief. Grief for the complex and the scary world in which we find ourselves right now. Grief for the constraints and the limitations. Grief for those with less or no safety, and grief for those at risk. And for me, underneath all of that grief is the grief for those that we have and that we will lose. And these days, my heart aches all of the time because of distraction or laughter or joy. But it's always there, that constant knowledge that loss is coming, that life is changed, that already vulnerable people will die, and so will others. And while I do celebrate the new normal that might emerge from this, and oh, that we might learn and change and build a different world, our spiritual work calls us nonetheless towards that deep grief for the world. But first we have to survive this. And that requires that we function differently. We wash our hands, we physically distance, and so on. That's the first layer. But there's a deeper invitation if we're listening closely. Personally, I've begun telling people in my life, even more than usual, how much I love them, what they mean to me, how they've changed my life. And I listen carefully to how I've changed theirs. Because I don't only want to come out of this alive. I want to emerge with you with a level of aliveness holding with truth the sheer fragility of human life. How someone we love can be taken from us in a moment, a day, a week. And we're left to figure out what to do with that empty space intact. Have you told your people what they mean to you, unequivocally and without holding back? Have you been honest with yourself, working to find peace in those internal places of guilt and pain? Have you resolved wrongs, made peace with enemies, and most importantly, begun to forgive yourself for whatever wrongs you hold yourself responsible? All of that is being asked of us right now. in the midst of a pandemic, job losses, sudden homeschooling, isolation, and illness, the world is asking, how do you wish to live? How do you wish to live? We have the choice to live deeply, fully, and unabashedly. And beloveds, if not now, when? This is the time, this is the opportunity to touch the pain of what is and live into the hope of what might, what can be. There is no denying the pain of this moment. I don't want us to. Touch the pain. Let it tell you how very much alive you are right now, and let that lead you. Poet Mary Oliver, in her poem Lead, says it this way. Here is a story to break your heart. Are you willing? This winter, the loons came to our harbor and died one by one of nothing we could see. A friend told me of one on the shore that lifted its head and opened its elegant beak and cried out in the long, sweet savoring of its life, which, if you have heard it, you know is a sacred thing, and for which, if you have not heard it, you had better hurry to where they still sing. And believe me, tell no one just where that is. The next morning, this loon, speckled and iridescent and with a plan to fly home to some hidden lake, was dead on the shore. I tell you this to break your heart, by which I mean only that it break open and never close again to the rest of the world. So, beloveds, let your grief emerge. Let your heart break. Cry, rage, and then come back more fully alive, more fully engaged, knowing that in the midst of that grief is the very life force, the deep and enduring love that carries us forward and might mean we find a way not only to survive, but to thrive. May it be so.
Well, I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do ya? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. And she tied you to her kitchen chair. She broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew ya. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. And love is not a victory march, it's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who outdrew ya. And it's not a cry that you hear at night, it's not somebody who's seen the light, to call and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Our closing words today are from Reverend Amanda Pape. Spirit of life and love, help us say yes to love. Open our hearts a crack, a little more, a chasm pulled apart so that love may seep in. Let the love run right across our orderly expectations. And when we think our hearts are full enough, then open them a bit more. May it be so, and amen.